This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in the kingdom. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hillier.
Amen. Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. Now, we're still teaching on taking responsibility for your success, taking responsibility for your success. And when we talk about success, all of us want to do well in life. Amen. Everybody wants to be successful in life. We're not just leaving it into limiting to the money arena, but we want to be successful in our homes. We want to be successful as parents. We want to be successful in best business persons. We want to be successful in our marriage. We want to do well. Is that right? Well, God's teaching Joshua here, and he's telling him that he has a role to play in it. And he's telling him he has to take responsibility for it. So we started teaching on responsibility, introduced it really on Father's Day of this year. And we've been building on it ever since. And we began to talk about being responsible, or taking responsibility from a kingdom sense, means I'm responsible in a situation. God's not going to let me be in a situation that I cannot respond to in a manner that's going to bring him glory. So I'm saying, in whatever situation I'm in, even though I didn't cause it, may not be the blame for it, but I'm in the situation, therefore I choose to be the instrument that God will use to bring himself glory out of that situation. May not have caused it, so I'm not hearing blame, not hearing shame, not hearing guilt, but I'm saying I am going to end this situation. In this situation, I'm going to respond in a manner that will glorify God. Amen? So now, we said that when you do that, three things happen. Everybody say, he's reviewing. Number one, there's an empowerment that takes place. God empowers you to do things you didn't think you could do. Number two, we says there's an endearment that takes place because people have an appreciation because you took responsibility. And then number three, there's an endowment that takes place. I leave an example for future generations. Amen. And so we talked about taking responsibility in the area of when a storm comes, you got to take responsibility. Now we're talking about taking responsibility for the success, my well-being in life. And so we began to lay the foundation. We talked about how it's the order of God, that success is the Father's order. So we prove that from the Bible. Even though there are a lot of Christians never read the Bible, you know, we have over here, praise the Lord. And we understand God wants us to do well. It's scriptural. Scripture upon scripture upon scripture, we found it's the order of God. Then we found out that it's not only just the order of God, but it's the fruit of our obedience, fruit of our obedience. So we spent last week talking about obedience. And now what we're going to deal with today is we're going to deal with it as it's the faithfulness overflow. In other words, when I serve God faithfully, the overflow of my faithful service to God causes my success. Now, go with your Bibles to Job 36 and 11. We've used that as our foundational text for that, that there is a pursuit of success that is done through kingdom service, a pursuit of success that is done through kingdom service. So rather than get caught up in the maze of this whole world system and leaving God out and saying, I'll get around to God when I can, that if you will focus on the promises in the Word of God, that if you will serve God, he will ensure your success. Amen. Amen. So Job 36 and 11, are you there? All right, Job 36 and 11 says what? Let's read it out aloud together. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their what? Years in pleasure. Now that's plain and simple. God says now, if you'll do two things, if you'll obey me and if you'll serve me. Everybody say obey me. Yeah, so he says if we'll obey him and if we'll serve him. So we talked last week on the obedience factor, found out what it's required for us to really walk in obedience. God wouldn't ask us to do something that we were not able to do. Amen. Now today, let's talk about serving God, because we talk about serving God now. It's very, very dynamic, because most people like to deal with God, with church, with the things of God based on, you know, their convenience. In other words, I don't want to be inconvenienced in anything. You know, God, you know, I love you. And I'm not putting you down at all, you know, because really, you know, I'm a pastor, didn't want to be a pastor years ago. And my whole thing with God was, I'll serve you, you know, on the weekend, but then, you know, for the rest of the week, I'm going to be in corporate America. And Lord, you know, I love you, but you know, you can't afford me, you know, praise the Lord. Now, I mean, in my ignorance, you understand? But then as I began to study the Word of God, I found out, and I came to the commitment to God to be a pastor, to obey Him. I came to that commitment without the knowledge that I was going to be blessed. Without the knowledge that I was going to be blessed. I really thought when I became a full-time pastor that I was doomed to a life of poverty. But okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, I love you enough, I appreciate what you've done for me enough, okay, that's where it's going to be. But then when I began to study the Word of God, I began to see, no. That's not what God says. It's clear in the Scripture. He says, if you will obey me and serve me, I'll cause you to spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. And I would say many of you who grew up never heard that Scripture. Am I right about it? Am I right? Many of you grew up. I know some of y'all grew up because our church is so old. You know, our church is 29 years old, you know. And so you grew up in here. So, yeah, you've been hearing it from day one, you understand. But a lot of us who kind of migrated into the Word of Faith, I mean, we grew up for years and never heard anything about success in church. Never heard a thing about it. So here was a promise hidden from us, kept from us, that would encourage us to be more excited about participating in the plan of God, of serving God. Now we're talking about serving God. Everybody say kingdom service. Job 36 and 11 says, if I'll obey and serve him, I can spend my days in prosperity. Serve him. Everybody say serve him. Now the Bible says you can't serve two masters. So that means you can't serve the money God and our God. Because serving God, even though he's going to reward us, my serving God must be from my heart. And I'm doing that heart. Now, it's almost like fringe benefits. You don't really work for the fringe benefits. You really work for your paycheck. And the fringe benefits like icing on the cake. Now, you love them. You appreciate them. Don't get me wrong now. So I'm saying like this. We serve God because we love him. Then we found out he's going to bless me on top of that. Everybody said that's too good to pass up, too big. But it's not just Job 36 and 11, Matthew 6 and 33. Let's go there. Matthew 6, 33. And let's just give a second witness to this so I understand clearly. Because my role today is get you excited about serving God. Get you excited about being more than just a member of the church who has their name on the roll and who comes, who give their tithes and their offerings, you follow me, and go home and say, I've done my part. I want to recruit you into the service of the kingdom of God. I want you to become an active part of this dynamic ministry. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what's going to happen? All these things. Now, these things here refer to the things he's talking about that are critical for well-being in life. So he said, if you seek first the kingdom, then all the other things that you would worry about, stress out about, that you would need to have quality of life, God says, I'll cause them to come to pass in your life. And so when we look at service, we understand that kingdom service is a matter of serving the Lord, number one, through serving I call them kingdom others, folk in the church. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So I'm going to serve the Lord through my service to others, how I help others, how I encourage others. That's considered me serving the Lord. Because for God to do anything in the earth, he needs somebody's hands, somebody's feet, somebody's mouth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And many times he will use others so that and they'll do it in a way that he is glorified. So in Romans chapter 12, I understand that there are kingdom others. Everybody say kingdom others. Yeah, kingdom others that I can serve God. I can serve God through ministering to them. And as I do so, then my life is going to be enriched as well. So there in verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. He's talking about how I can serve the Lord by me ministering to others. Amen. Now, I know this may not be an exciting lesson to you right now, but when you understand that God says, for doing this, I'm going to reward you. Hezekiah was in trouble one day, and he reminded God of his service. And on the basis of him reminding God of his service, God came through for him. So I'm saying now, as you build up a resume of service to God, you have a right to do what the Bible says. You can put God in remembrance of what you have done and watch God honor your service. Everybody say, God will honor my service. Now, he will, because what God does for one person, he'll do for another. But the devil's kind of put a little fog over our eyes on this, where we almost think that we don't have to do anything, that I ain't just coming, I'm going to get born again and praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to go to church when I can, I won't ask them to do nothing. I'm going to give them my money. Praise the Lord, they have my money, but I'm not going to get involved. I'm here to tell you that your talents that God has given you were not given to you exclusively for you to use them apart from the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Go to Luke chapter 10. Yes. So I serve the Lord through serving kingdom others. I serve the Lord through kingdom opportunities. In other words, God wants something done in the earth. He'll pick somebody out and say, okay, listen, I want you to do this. It becomes a kingdom opportunity. It's assignments that God will give you. Thirdly, I can serve God through kingdom obedience. In other words, it's just about loving God, providing an example for others, living right. I'm serving the Lord, worshiping those things that he asked me to do in scripture, you know. As I do those things, it's considered a service to God. And then through kingdom outreach. Everybody say kingdom outreach. Now, kingdom outreach means that, and this is when Jesus left to go back to the Father, he said, I want you all to go, told the disciples now. And that word to the disciples is a word to us. We ought to be actively looking for others that we can share the love of Jesus with, the message of salvation, so their lives can be transformed like ours. Your enthusiasm overwhelms me this morning. But I'm telling you, when you do that, here's the promise. The promise is, if you will do that, God says, I am going to, how many want to spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure? Now, apart from whatever this world system is attempting to do, to hold you back, to keep you down, we got a kingdom system where God says, if you will obey and serve me, I'll override anything and everything that the world will try to do to keep you back, because you've obeyed and served me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now let me just give you some more witnesses, because I got to prove my case here today. I thought it was going to be easy today, but that's all right. That's all right. Go with your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We read it before, but let me read it again and let the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of cement it in your understanding. Look at verse 28. Because see, when it comes to serving God, I got to give up something. I got to give up some of my time. You follow me? And my time is valuable, preacher. What you mean? I got to give up some of my time. I got to give up some of my talent. Well, I'm talking about serving God. And so, preacher, is it going to be worth it? Verse 28. Are you there? What did I tell you? Mark 10. Mark 10, 28. The disciples come to Jesus. I read it before. I just got to read it again, because some of y'all are trying to be slow on me, and I just can't afford to do it. I got too much to do. I got a whole lot to get to. Verse 10 says, then Peter began to say unto him, Lord, we have left all and have followed you. Jesus, we gave up something to follow you. That's what he's saying. So he's saying, we gave up something to follow you. Now Jesus interrupts and says, well, and answer, and verse 29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sister or father, a mother, a wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. So God says, listen, I'm not going to let you give up anything for me, that I'm not going to give it back to you on this side of heaven. Go to John chapter 15. Go to John chapter 15. I'm trying to tell you all throughout the Bible. Now, they never told me this when I was growing up. They never told me this, that God was going to reward me, that God was going to do something for me for my service in the kingdom of God. So I'm saying to every helps ministry worker or excellence teams worker or any volunteer, I'm saying that God says whatever you have given up to serve him, to make yourself available for a kingdom need or situation, that God says, I'm going to make it up to you. Not over yonder, but I'm going to make it up to you now. In a hundredfold. Now, hundredfold means the exact, hundredfold does not necessarily mean 100 times. In this place, it's a metaphor that means the optimum return that you need.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Are you there in John chapter 15? John chapter 15. All right. Look there in verse 16. John chapter 15, verse 16. All right. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Everybody say, sound like service to me. That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Oh my God, this is a pursuit of success through service. The pursuit of success through kingdom service. Wish I'd get somebody more excited. All right, that's all right, that's all right. Now go with your Bible to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, let's go back there, because we're going to see here that kingdom success is a faithfulness is demonstrated here with the story. I went throughout the Bible trying to find a simple story that would best illustrate and demonstrate kingdom service, the attitude of it, what's required for it. And the only person I could find, I mean the best one I could find other than Jesus himself would be the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. Amen. So from his story, we're going to learn some things that we will have to do if we're going to take God up on this opportunity that he's laying before us that we have of serving him. All right. So let's pick the story up then, verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment. Are you there? And wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? All right, now watch this. So Jesus says, now you judge it. Was it the priest who passed by, the Levite who passed by, or was it this servant, or this Samaritan that rendered service? Of course, anybody would say, of course, the Samaritan, all right? But now let's see if we can look at some quality points from the Samaritan. Number one, he recognized the suffering. When it comes to kingdom service, we must understand that God gives visions so that people can be rescued from their perishing predicament. Scripture says, where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. So the vision of any local church, of any ministry, will have a rescue component to it. Amen? And so what happens here is this man, he recognizes the suffering that's being done. He recognizes man has fallen. So that's the first thing for an act of service, is I must recognize some suffering somewhere. Now, when we think of suffering, many times you go to the extreme of thinking someone is in extreme pain, but that's not all the suffering. All suffering does not come with extreme pain. People can suffer for a lack of knowledge. Our children who are not has to be trained in the understanding of God, there's a type of suffering there if nobody talks to them, nobody teaches them. The foundation that I have in the things of God came when I was a child, because there were people who were willing to teach children. Amen. 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 you know, I had a preacher come here from another church. Of course, he come and, you know, he wanted to, you know, when he was going to get his shot at preaching to the congregation. You understand? He said, the Lord sent him here. And I told him, oh, man, I say, for you to preach on Sunday morning, I mean, man, that line is real long. I say, but, you know, there's an opportunity. You can preach on on Sunday at children's church and one of the classrooms. I mean, that's a short line. Now, he didn't want to go preach to children. He didn't want to go preach to children. But he wanted my spot. Because I told him, people don't come in to hear you. They come to hear me. I'm the pastor. See, now, y'all think that's arrogant. That's not arrogant. Y'all come expecting me to preach. That's why you're joined. I'll be your pastor. Right? So I wasn't trying to be arrogant or anything like that. I was telling them, but they didn't come here to hear you. Now, see, what you don't understand is, now, y'all know my testimony. I got to say it for the benefit of those who don't. But, you know, I taught children for years. They call my church Kiddyland. Amen. They call my church Kiddyland, really, because all I had was children. And I ministered to those children. I taught those children. And then I had to go pick them up on the bus, give them donuts to keep them happy. Amen. You know, I was the bus captain. I was the bus driver. Amen. Till God raised up some drivers. Amen. Then I was a Sunday school superintendent, Sunday school teacher. Amen. I did it all, you understand? But what the scripture says, if you're faithful over a few, he'll make you over the many. But see, a lot of people don't want to start the service behind the scenes. But you got to understand, it's the recognition of suffering. Now, I was happy to teach the children simply because that's where I got my foundation. If they had, Miss Rachel hadn't taught me, and the church I was in was a very good, solid church, I got a good foundation on the things of God, great foundation there. I knew God loved me. I knew I was saved. I got a great foundation. As a child, I got that foundation. Amen. Everybody say, recognize suffering. Recognize suffering. All right, suffering can, of course, degrees of suffering. It can be more extreme than that because there are people who suffer and there's emotional suffering, there's sickness, and all kind of things that you've got to recognize that God wants your hands involved in it. Amen? And there's a suffering that takes place. Well, on Sunday morning, people come in here with all kinds of problems, and that's where they should come. You follow me? And you'll be amazed at what a smile will do, a touch will do. And that is what makes our greeters so important. It makes our ushers so important. Those of you who are involved in ministry, it makes our VIPs, it makes it so important because we're able to touch people. So here's the Samaritan, and the Bible says, as he journeyed. Everybody say, as he journeyed. So that brings me to the second point. He rearranges his schedule. He rearranges his schedule. In order for you to render kingdom service, for which you will be rewarded on this side of heaven, you have to rearrange your schedule. Now, when we're talking about rearranging your schedule, I'm not just talking about rearranging your time for now, but many times you have to rearrange your agenda. Because many times our success agenda does not include service to God. We want to, God, you wait until I get my business straight, and you wait until I get this straight, and you, and then God, no. If you will seek first, if I will prioritize that I am going to serve God, I am going to demonstrate to God that I love him. I'm going to demonstrate to God that I love him enough to obey him, to follow the kingdom opportunities, and to minister to others. I am going to change my agenda. Now I got to say that as a preacher, but I had to change my agenda because my agenda was, God, I already got you slotted. I'm going to serve you on Sundays. I'm going to preach all I'm going to preach. I'll preach at 11 o'clock. I'll preach at 3 o'clock. I'll let them preach even at night. You understand? But Monday through the rest of the week, Lord, I don't really want to be bothered. No, serious. I don't want to be no pastor. I don't want to have pastoral responsibilities. I won't be burying no dead, and I won't be doing all of that. I'm not going to see no sick folk in the hospital. I just want to preach. God had something else for me. You follow me? I was a system analyst, doing good, making good money, y'all. Oh, my Jesus. Making good, long money. Everybody say long money. Oh, my God. Look, my money was so long, I brought my wife when I married her, I bought her a Lincoln Continental for a wedding present. That's how much I'm rolling, you understand? I'm rolling. I got me another little business on the side, you understand? I'm working. I got my business on the side. I got long money. Long money, no people problems. But God, everybody say, but God, but God, but God. But God said, no, son, this is what I want you to do. So now I got to rearrange my schedule. I'm talking to somebody in the house. I'm talking about somebody in the house. You're so busy. But I'm trying to tell you. Well, because I did that. I didn't have revelation like you got now. I did that. I came and I rearranged my schedule. In other words, I totally rearranged my agenda. God, whatever you want me to do. Want me to be a broke pastor? I'll be a broke pastor. Amen. Because I just loved him and wanted to please him. You understand? But it takes that rearranging your schedule. Now, in the midst of me preaching on this, we're going to move our church to what I call seven-star excellence. Everybody say seven-star excellence. Seven-star. Yeah. Now, New Light has a reputation of being an excellent church. But God wants us to go to a whole nother level of excellence. Hallelujah. Called seven-star. Everybody say seven-star. Now, I've seen, they talk about five-star hotels, but there are only maybe 4 7-star hotels in the world. And those 7-star hotels are known because they go the exceptional mile of the way. And that's how we want our church to be. And we're not talking about just looking, how it looks, how the appearance. Now, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about its ability to reach out, touch people, care for them, snatch them out of the fire. You understand? Amen. I got a few amens on that. I got a few amens. Now, we're going to go into training for that in August. Training for that in August. August, the first Sunday, we're going to have our marriage ministry. But then the second, third, and the fourth Sunday is when we're going to be in 7-star training. I'm asking you now to start planning so you can rearrange your schedule to be back on Sunday night. Everybody say Sunday nights. Yeah, I'll be back on Sunday nights for our 7-star training. Remember, if you're obeying, you spend your... And you what? Now let me link that with another principle. Another principle is the way I measure it out is the way it be measured back to me. So if we are ministering at 7-star level, what can we expect? Everybody say 7-star blessing. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, so this Samaritan rearranged his schedule. He recognized suffering, rearranged his schedule. Watch this. And he rushed to the site. He rushed to the man is fallen among the thieves and the robbers. He's there bleeding and bloody. The priest passed by. The Levite passed by. But this Samaritan, he was busy. He was on his way somewhere. The Bible says as he journeyed. He's a businessman on his way somewhere. But he sees, recognizes the suffering. All right. He rearranged his schedule. In other words, he says, hey, I know I need to go on, but I also need to do this. And he rushes to the site. Everybody say a sense of urgency. When we get a sense of urgency, oh my God, I can sense this. When we get a sense of urgency about the things of God, like we have a sense of urgency about our own stuff, we're going to see things change.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. No, serious. Because see, when we call God, when do we want God to show up? But when he calls you, do you have that same sense of urgency? See, that's the key. No, that's the key to getting God on the scene when you need him, because he says the way you measure it out, this is the way it's going to be measured back.
Amen.
I need to take care of some business. I need you to call me this week, okay? All right, call me this week because we're trying to get in touch with you. So give me a shout. All right, praise the Lord. All right, now watch this. Everybody say sense of urgency, which means I don't put God off until it's convenient for me. No, if I obey him and serve him, he going to pay me. Everybody say he going to pay me. I want you to get that in your thinking. If I obey him and serve him, God's going to pay me back down. Hallelujah. All right, now, so he rushes to the site. Number four, this is what he done. He responds with sensitivity. He responds with sensitivity. Now, he didn't rebuke the man. He said, man, you ain't got no business out here no way. Look at you. You're out here, you know there are thieves and robbers out here, and look at you. You're out here by yourself. You done fallen among the thieves. They done blooded you up, beat you up. You shouldn't have been out here in the first place. No, he's not rebuking the man. So when we minister and serve, we must do with sensitivity of heart. Which means sometimes you got to put your problems on the back burner. Amen. Amen. We're talking about serving the Lord. I'm really teaching you how to be successful through a kingdom pursuit of service. If you'll serve God, God says, I'm going to do something for you. Man, that when I saw that in the scripture, then I began to release my faith. That's what I'm going to teach you on next week, how to release your faith for it. Because, see, it had been in the Word all the time, but the will of God doesn't automatically come to pass. Now I had something to release my faith for. God says, if you do this, I'll let you spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. That had been a promise I left on the shelf because I didn't know it was there. Kind of like when I went to Jamaica for the first time. Little boy, little teenager, they had a thing that they were sending young people to Jamaica for a mission trip. My first time on an airplane. And I didn't know what was going on, you understand? Airplane took off. Lady come down the aisle, start serving food. I thought you had to pay for the food. I thought you had to pay for it, you know. So she asked me if I wanted the food. I said, no, ma'am. No, because my mama gave me a little change. I was going to take my money and spend my money in Jamaica, you understand? So all these other folk, all these other children, they getting all this food. I'm sitting there hungry as I could be, you understand? But I thought I had to pay for it. Now, you know, to pacify myself, now I'm saying they ought to be ashamed when I say they're going to get to Jamaica and they ain't going to have no money. I'm going to be the only one with some money in Jamaica because I thought they got to pay for it, you understand? And then the matron saw me and she said, Reverend Hilliard, it's all included in the fare. Hey, I say, ma'am, I have some of that. Come on back down. I'm telling you, see, and that's where a whole lot of folk are. They never knew this was in the scripture. And what I'm doing, I'm like the matron that day. Hey, saying, look, the Lord says, if you'll rearrange your schedule and if you'll render him some service, that he's going to pay you back in a hundredfold measure on this side of heaven. Whatever you give up for the kingdom's sake, God promises you he'll go give it back to you. When you get folks saved, he says this, I value that so much that when you get people saved, you get them, they get snatched out of darkness into the light, they get born again, then God says, listen, whatever you ask me, that's what I'm going to do. All right, so he responds with sensitivity, and that is, everybody say compassion. And that is, we've got to put ourselves in the other person's place. A lot of us been saved a long time. We don't know what it's like to worry. We got been saved, got the word. We don't know, but I got to tell you, people who do not know the word, is that my time, Jesus? Yeah. Okay, let me move on. Yes, indeed, I tell you. But y'all been good. It's been a good class already, right? All right, so he renders some service. Everybody say he renders service. Yeah, I mean, and the Bible says he pours in oil and wine. Oil, I think, is representative of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when we minister, we minister with the power of the Holy Spirit. And wine represents joy. So it ought to be a joy to you. It ought to be a joy to you. You know, I mean, when in the early days, Lady Bridget and I, you know, we were the first television editors. And of course, that means we had to stay up hours editing the program. But that was such a joy after you edit the program and you see it on television and you knew it was reaching thousands and thousands of people. That was just a joy in that. So even we were staying up late at night, I mean, working sometime all night to edit the programs and that sort of thing. That was a joy in the labor. And that's what I'm saying happens. That because of what you do, all of us play a part. This is one big team, but everybody has a part to play. And as you play your part, when we see the ministry going forward, when we see people get saved, we understand we all had a part to play in it. Everybody say the joy. All right, then he removes him to safety. He didn't leave the man on the road. Bible says he put him on his own beast and carried him. And that is so good because we want our church to be a place of acceptance. Amen. Everybody say acceptance. Yeah, we got to want our church to be a place of acceptance so that we don't look down our noses at anybody. Because God cleaned all of us up. So when quote, people who've not been cleaned up yet come to church, we don't want to be looking down our nose at them. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So So this man was able to take him to a place of, to the inn, a place of safety. And that's what we want our church to be, a place of safety. People are struggling. We understand they're struggling, but we want them to be able to come and feel safe in the house of God. And then he received some support. And that is, he asked the innkeeper, he says, listen, I'm going to leave him here with you. I'm going to give you some money. And I call that everybody say he released silver. Yeah, he released some silver, and then he's to be rewarded supernaturally, because God's not going to let you do anything for which he will not give you a return. Amen. Go with the Bibles to Psalms 100. Faithfulness in service can be dissected. I wanted to dissect it. I don't know what it was. I just strayed away or cooked too much food again today. But here, there are seven points I want to give you as I wrap this up. 7 points. And, you know, Lady Bridget went to Beaumont, so she's going to be messing with me by my time. I already know that, but that's okay. Y'all smart. Y'all going to be able to catch these. I'm going to give them to you real quick, and then I got a story I'm going to close with. All right. Psalms 100 and verse 2. What does it say?
Serve the Lord with
glad. Serve him how?
Glad.
Serve the Lord with how?
Glad.
That's the whole point. And I want to just stop right with that. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. No matter where you are stationed, and you can't say big church like this, many areas of worship, many areas of participation. You got it? Many areas of participation. Vision continues to expand. I want you to find an area you can work in. Look at the person that said he's looking right at you today. Say he's been looking at you all service. He's been looking right at you. Said this lesson is for you. I've been watching Bishop. Bishop been looking at you all this service. That's a joy in this thing. So it's a matter, here's my 7 points, I'm going to wrap it up. That is, serving the Lord is a God-focused matter. Everybody say God-focused matter.
God-focused.
Yeah, I do it as unto the Lord. If you do it as unto men, men will make you upset. But you do it as unto the Lord. Everybody say as unto the Lord. I do it as unto the Lord. And so what men do or don't do don't bother you, because I didn't do it as unto you. I did it as unto the Lord. You get the overflow of my relationship with God. I mean, and that's the way to do it. That's how you keep your joy. That's how you keep your joy. See, you keep your joy because, see, listen, if I do something and I bless them and then they get all upset with me and that sort of thing and, you know, don't like me, well, they don't stop my blessing, because I did it as unto the Lord. So that's the key to keeping my joy as unto the Lord. If I say it's a God-focused matter. All right? It's a grace-focused matter. The grace-focused matter has to do with when I step to the plate and says, okay, God, I'm ready to be used of you. I want to be on the program. I want to serve you. Then he empowers me to do that. He empowers me to do it, so I don't have to do it based on my own strength. That is one of the most liberating things that I learned very early. Because when it came to pastoring, I just said, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. And then when the Lord told me the magnitude of the kind of church he's going to give me, Lord, how am I going to be able to do this? But I found out it's a grace matter. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, now, he gives grace according to the measure. According to the measure. In other words, so I have grace to do this. I have grace to do it. Because people say, man, I don't see how. Well, I'm not doing it in my own strength. I got grace to do it. And when you began to do something, how many found that out as you work? How many workers I got? And you found out how God just gives you grace to do it. You can do things you're not being trained to do. You got it? Grace. So it's a grace matter. Everybody say grace matter. It's a goodness matter. Goodness matter. In other words, you feel good about it. The Bible calls it good work. It's good work because it's good to those who do it, and it's good to those who receive it. I mean, it's good work. Everybody say goodness. Everybody say goodness. All right, watch this. Then it's a greatness focused. See, people have this thing about wanting to be somebody. Everybody want to be somebody. God says in the kingdom, those who serve become the greatest.
Yeah.
It's a switch in your thinking. We think those who serve are at a subpar level, but not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, he says, if you'll serve, he says, the greatest of you will be the servants. So it's a change of your thinking. You want to be respected. You want elevation. You want to feel good about yourself. You want better self-esteem. Service is the way to that. So it's a greatness factor. Everybody say greatness factor. It's a gratitude factor. Everybody say gratitude. I do it because I thank God for what he's done for me. Amen. It's a gain factor. Everybody say gain factor. Yeah, I'm going to get blessed out of this. Didn't know it in the beginning. Didn't sign up for it. But thank God I'm going to get blessed out of it. And then it's a grit factor. Everybody say grit. Focused factor. To serve the Lord, you got to have some grit. Anybody remember that story? I mean, the cowboy story, True Grit. Now I'm just tell y'all, I'm a cowboy story man, cowboy movie. They don't make them no more. That's so sad. With all of the, I ain't seen Long Ranger yet. I got to go see Long Ranger. But man, I'm a cowboy man. I love this cowboy movies. Other cowboy movies, but they just don't make them no more. You understand? So then they made them one cowboys and aliens. There ain't no cowboy movie. Okay, but watch it. The story about True Grit was this guy had the stuff it would take to face whatever he needed to face. The John Wayne guy, you understand? When you're serving the kingdom of God, you got to have some grit. I'm not serious. You have to have the grit because many times society will come against you. I call it the ridicule of society. You going down to that church again? Now, when you were going to the clubs, ain't nobody bother you. You could go to clubs every day. Anybody bother you? Every night. You can put on your stuff, go into the club, come back in late, nobody bother you. But you go to church twice a week. You going to church down there again? What y'all having now? Everybody say the ridicule of society. You got to face the ridicule of society. And you've got to also be ready. Everybody say you need grit. Because you have to, there's the resistance to sacrifice. As a resistance to sacrifice, resistance to giving up something you like, and more, many times serving God, you got to give up something you like. Amen. Everybody said, but it pays off. And it pays off big time. All right, let me go on and close now. There's a story of a guy who would always stop at emergencies. No matter where the emergency was, if he saw it, he would stop. No matter what he was doing, he pulled to the side and he stopped car wrecks. Or anytime he saw flashing lights, he would be on the scene. So a person asked him once, he says, now, why are you so, drawn to emergencies? And so he said, well, you know, years ago when I was married and, you know, my wife had this rare disease and nobody here in America could operate on her. We finally found a surgeon who could operate on her. He flew in to do the operation. Day before the operation, I went fishing. He says, I was out there fishing, and while fishing, you know, waves were high, a boat capsized. He says, normally a boater would drop what he's doing, and if boaters in the house, you know that. So you see some trouble, you stop what you're doing, you go immediately give assistance. He said, but on this day, I was on my favorite fishing spot, and the fish were biting. I didn't want to lose my spot. I figured somebody else would go and assist in the rescue, so I stayed on the spot. He said, but after a while, it looked like wasn't nobody coming. And finally, Coast Guard showed up and began to implement their rescue, and they rescued all but one person. And they said, this only one person. They said, I felt real bad that, hey, maybe I could have been helping that one person, and that maybe if I had helped earlier, that one person wouldn't have lost their lives. They never found. They were lost at sea. And so he said, I got back home, and I got a call from the hospital. The call from the hospital was that the surgeon would not be able to do the operation. Why? Because he had gone fishing, and he had fallen overboard, and he was lost at sea. It was the situation that I did not address. So not only did it cost him his life, but it cost the life of my wife. And I promised at her funeral that whenever an emergency situation would arise, I would go. Because you never know who God is connecting you with when you reach out to them. I can stand in this church and I look around. And of course, when God had me turn aside to minister to people, I think about Larry Robeson, man. Larry came to me as a drug addict. I mean, high. And the first day he was there, he's high. I don't even know if he knew me. He's so high. Now, his wife brought him in like to see him. And I turned aside to minister to Larry. poured my life into Larry, my heart into Larry, as it were. Who knew at that time God was connecting me with the man who would build all the buildings that he called me to build? So what I'm trying to say, I could go down the line. There's so many more of you. There's as Don here and as others who've been so instrumental in my own life. Praise you follow me? But had I not given time and attention to, they would not be a part. I would have missed out on them. So I'm saying that same thing happens to you, that God will bring people across your path and you will never know what role he has for them to play in your future. So you can't afford to take it lightly. So we want to be ready witnesses for him wherever we go. Amen. Because we never know who's God going to raise up as we talk to them that will be a blessing to our lives in the future. Can I get every head bowed and every eye closed? While every head is bowed, every eye is closed.